Hi everyone, Sane Made here. This video is a chat I did a while back with Malcolm and Simone Collins. We talk about a bunch of different things with regards to reproduction, including artificial wombs, cloning, surrogacy, and ways to save the human race from extinction. The conclusion is we need new social technology. I'll play the clip in a moment, but first let me tell everyone about today's sponsor, the MGTOW Book Collection Part 2. Whether you're getting camel toe in Cambodia, banging babes in burkas in Turkey, or taking Polaroids of ladyboys in Thailand, Luca Vendetti has a series of books to make you live the dream. His new three-booklet series includes How to Live on $500 a Month in Cambodia, Turkey, and Vietnam, in addition to his classic How to Retire on $200K in Southeast Asia. He also has the MGTOW book. Visit MGTOWbooks.com and use the promo code SANDMAN to get 10% off. Now available in four formats: PDF, Mobi for Kindle, EPUB, and text-to-speech MP3. Sponsor link is down below. Anyways, here's the conversation, so enjoy.
A lot of guys are also looking for, they want lover bots or sex bots, because you're trying to compartmentalize every aspect of what you would get from a woman and take technology and replace everything. Mm-hmm. And this is something that a lot of women that I've spoken to, they get really uppity, because it creates obsolescence, right? Why would they choose a real life woman versus using the technology?
Yeah. And I thought that's one of my favorite arguments that I see, like, within MGTOW. Just, hey, listen, when you look at the difference between a suboptimal relationship with a spouse, where you're paying a lot extra for everything versus like getting everything piecemeal, it really is crazy that people would choose to have a suboptimal relationship with a spouse to do all this.
Would you like to know more?
Hello, it is so wonderful to be here with you today, Simone. We have a wonderful guest today. So actually, before he reached out to us, he was on an email list for us to reach out to, because we were interested in reaching out to the people in the MGTOW community. And I was like, okay, so who are the top MGTOW people these days? And I looked, and the first name was Sandman, who they called the Mount Rushmore of the MGTOW community. And so I was like, wow, he's already reached. That's amazing. I do travel in similar circles. So for people who aren't familiar with the MGTOW community, this stands for Men Going Their Own Way, which is a cultural response to the raw deal many men feel they're getting in society today. And you can correct me if I said anything wrong there. But what is our topic today, Simone?
We are going to talk about something way beyond the basics of MGTOW, which is reproductive strategy. Because just because you may be opting out of like traditional relationships with women doesn't mean that you don't want to have kids.
And it doesn't mean that you don't want your cultural group to survive into the future.
Exactly. So what do? How can we use technology and different strategies?
How can we make MGTOW an intergenerationally durable cultural group?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So the first thing, when I started my channel back in end of 2013, the first thing that came to mind was, I don't want to get married, but I still want to have children. So how am I going to pull this off? And the first thing I looked at was gestational surrogacy. And you can go and buy eggs for $5,000-$6,000 on the open market. And then you can go and pay for a surrogate in another country, and then you can reproduce and you can have all the children you want. And so when I put that video out, I got a good response, but a lot of women were very upset because they said, you're depriving the children of a mother. They said, yes, this is the argument that was being thrown around. It's not fair for you to deprive the child. And I'm thinking to myself, but what about all the single mothers out there that are depriving their children of fathers?
Just to add to this, because the audience might not be familiar with this statistic, is that there's been a lot of studies on this. And while coming from a single mother household has a lot of negative implications on children long term, single father households actually don't have that many negative implications.
Sick burn to the mothers.
There's alternative reasons why this might be the case. It might be that typically, because courts so disproportionately favor women, divorce courts do, that really the only time that when people get a divorce or in the relationship for some sort of bad reason, the kids are going to the mother. But if one of the parents dies, then it's going to the father. That could be what's causing this in the data. But it is just a true thing in most of the data that being a single father has much better implications than being a single mother. Continue.
So about 5 or 10 different guys over the years have contacted me and they've told me that they've tried gestational surrogacy either in Ukraine or in Africa or in Mexico. when I first saw what was going on, I thought, okay, I'm going to do India because India seemed to be the most cost effective at the time. Mm-hmm. You could get for $12,000 roughly, you could basically have a child. Yeah, you're looking at the cost is very low. But it's not just that. It's also to do with genetic selection. I know you guys are very involved in genetic selection. When you go through, you can pick through all the different surrogates. So if you're a 5 foot five short manlet, you're not going to get many women to date you and have reproduction with you. So what you want to do is you want to go and find someone that's 5 foot nine, 5 foot 10, 6 feet tall, blonde hair, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you can basically up the value of your children and get them higher in the sexual marketplace that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But you could really spam that using
collagenic risk score selection.
Yeah. So you can use. So you can. You want to talk about the cost of that, Simone? Just so.
Yeah. First, if we're talking about the cost of surrogacy, it's typically well over $100,000 in the United States.
What I'm asking is what would be the marginal cost if he was able to do this in India to do the polygenic risk score selection?
It's non-trivial now, and hopefully it will be a lot less expensive in the future. So right now, I think genomic prediction, which is the gold standard of like your typical getting it started polygenic risk score selection, I think is around like $400 per embryo with a sort of minimum fee.
But that would allow you to look at things like height for every one of those embryos.
No, not exactly.
They don't tell you that?
They don't tell you height. Genomic prediction only tells you a series of politically correct health scores.
So you need to export the data and send it to
other people. You need to export it and then upload it to other platforms. Self-decode being one that's more affordable and also like publicly open about, yes, we'll accept genomic prediction exports. Yes, we have a variety of scores. I don't know if currently they have one for height though. So there are other groups that do.
Let's continue.
Yeah, it's just, it is not cheap.
Okay, but India banned everything about, I think it was about 10 or 11 years ago. So just as yes, they did. So it was banned for foreigners and was banned for single individuals. The discrimination is getting pretty crazy. You can look at places like Mexico. A lot of people are doing Africa now. So that seems to be, Ukraine was always a possibility for a while, obviously not anymore right now. Yeah. So that was what was going on. And then over time, I thought to myself, this is a good reproductive strategy, but I came upon some health issues. So I decided, okay, that's not going to really work for me. So what other reproductive strategies could I implement? And so I look at Elon Musk and I look at his reproductive strategy as what I would like to call spray and pray, right? So he's just going out there and reproducing with as many women as he can. I think he's up to 11, 12, 13 children right now. He is not implementing a cultural strategy. And this is something that Malcolm brought up. It's one thing to pass your genes down to the next generation, but how do you ensure 3, 4, 5 generations down the road? And that's something that I didn't really think about. And so my idea was when I get older, say I'm in my 60s or 70s, I pay for a bunch of surrogates. I have 10 different children. I put them up for adoption with different people who have, they're financially successful and I can put them up in different parts of the world, which increases the possibility of survival in case there's like a thermonuclear war or something ridiculous. Right. So that was the strategy. So now I'm thinking that's not going to work. So now I'm looking at other strategies, which if in the next few years, if I get my autoimmune issues under control and Bitcoin does what it's supposed to, then I'm thinking probably within 5, 6 years, I might implement the surrogacy strategy. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. What I would say is it doesn't even matter how many kids you immediately have. If you're thinking about the long-term impact culturally, whatever that you would have through children, it doesn't matter how many kids you have. It matters how many grandkids you have and how many kids they have in turn. So like someone could have 10 kids, someone could have 30 kids. And if those kids all hate you and either don't have kids at all or don't pass on anything related to you, then like you might as well have done nothing. So
and we've also got to keep in mind that MGTOW cultural strategies are going to become more viable in the future. Artificial womb technology is getting nearer and nearer to viable.
Yeah.
And that could make having kids without a partner very inexpensive. It could even make, different types of genetic recombination possible.
But as you guys know, it's not just the cost of reproduction, it's the cost of daycare and all the other stuff. It's probably way more in the end. Like what a lot of people have been thinking about in terms of reproduction for MGTOW is there's a few holy grail technologies that will allow these things to happen. So one of those is artificial wombs.
Yes.
But a lot of guys are also looking for, they want lover bots or sex bots, because you're trying to compartmentalize every aspect of what you would get from a woman and take technology and replace everything. Mm-hmm. And this is something that a lot of women that I've spoken to, they get really uppity because it creates obsolescence, right, in certain ways. And all of a sudden it limits their ability to mate select, because if all of a sudden you have 70, 80, 90% of the male population that can gain access to these technologies, then why would they choose a real life woman versus using the technology?
Yeah. And I thought that's one of my favorite arguments that I see, like within MGTOW, just, hey, listen, when you look at the difference between a suboptimal relationship with a spouse, where you're paying a lot extra for everything versus like getting everything piecemeal, it really is crazy that people would choose to have a suboptimal relationship with a spouse to do all this. So like, it's exciting. And yes, with IVG in the future, and who knows like how far, Malcolm, what's your estimate on like where we will be with artificial wombs and in vitro?
I think our kids will almost certainly 99% probability have access to them when they decide to have kids.
What about people today watching this? You just,
I don't know. Could be 10 years, could be 20 years. It's difficult to say exactly. And the problem is that a lot of this stuff has to be done in secret because the public mores are so against it right now. And I think that that's a really interesting thing that's talked about a lot in the MGTOW community, which I don't think the general public is as aware of. So I want to talk about this subject a little. The way that feminist groups really freak out about stuff like sex bots in a way that like, okay, obviously, so the perception often within the MGTOW community around this is they cognizantly understand how this lowers their power on sexual marketplaces, and that's why they're reacting this way. But I don't feel like they're thinking about it. Like,
yeah, does it even lower their power? Like,
it definitely lowers their power.
They feel like it lowers their power versus anything. So, for example, I've been working on my own version of a, I wouldn't call it a sex bot, I would call it more like a virtual sex system. The way it works is it projects a real life woman into the sex doll so that you interact with the real woman and you're stimulating the technology, but there's this technology on the other end that's stimulating her. So you're actually able to have sex. We're digitizing everything. We're digitizing.
Teledildonics is what this field is called, by the way.
Wait, yes. Is that an actual word?
Yes. Yeah, I looked into it for a while. I thought there were some interesting opportunities in the field.
Why not just an AI though? Like, why involve a woman at all?
Okay, so when I first introduced the technology to a couple of women, they got very hostile. So my instinct, my white knighting instinct was activated. Okay. And I thought, like, how could I make this woman feel more comfortable about what I was saying?
Oh.
And my subconscious just said, well, I'm not going to just replace women with an AI. I'm going to allow you to interact with the man through the technology. And all of a sudden, the mood and the hostility just disappeared. Because all of a sudden, the hamster in her head started running, and the hamster figured out, okay, if I can use this technology, then I can have a new way to exploit the simpish population over the internet.
It's the next OnlyFans.
Yes, because with the way the technology, like the way I've developed the technology, like I've got, like I can show you guys crude pieces of prototypes. The first thing is it uses a sex doll, right? So the sex doll, but you take the head, the sex doll heads are like removable. So you can unscrew the sex doll head. Then what you do is you put a plastic, see-through, transparent plastic head on there. And then you put an ultra short throw projector in the back. So it projects the person out.
Fascinating.
And then the dolls have a vaginal insert. Yeah. So you take the vaginal insert out and you put one in with sensors. Mm-hmm. So that literally picks up all your thrusts. And so it digitizes your thrusts. She can see you through the face and she can interact with you. And then on her end, there's technology that's capturing her face in real time. And there's also the teledildonics that are thrusting in and out. You can use all kinds of different technologies.
I'm sorry. I'm like so 7 years old. This is so funny, teledildonics. I don't know. I feel like I would, as a guy, as a girl, I would prefer like my waifu / husband to do this. That's like not human.
You're like a complete AI. No, I mean, so one thing he said that I thought was really interesting that I think is interesting is the economics of this.
Yeah.
So look at current ways that women can, I don't know, what do you want to say, exploit or whatever, get money from men on the internet. they are typically one-to-many approaches,
yeah,
which mean that the very best women just completely mop up. This is whether it's OnlyFans or sex chatting websites or something like that. What makes this technology unique is that it monopolizes a woman's time with one guy for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So it's actually much
it's more democratizing
of women's ability to make money in online environments.
Yeah.
Which in many ways, yeah, that's interesting.
This is so not where I thought the conversation was going to go, Sandman, when you mentioned I want to figure out how to also replace the elements of the female presence in the home. I'm picturing Mother from the Umbrella Academy, which I'm not sure if you've watched that show, but there's
yes,
this robotic 1950s tradwife woman.
In terms of replacing, like, there's technologies like they're creating robot chefs and you can, I've got like a vacuum that kind of just does its own thing and all that kind of stuff. Those are just appliances that kind of do that. But to have a, like, you have to think about this technology. We can't get to the full Android within the next 50, 100, like it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
So you have to look at all the intermediate steps between like full Android and where we are today and how you, and you have to push the technology forward. You have to start working on those intermediate steps and making them good, right? Mm-hmm. So because if I create my virtual sex system, then people will see the possibility and they'll start adding more things to it, right? So all of a sudden there'll be sensors built into the doll so you can touch it, and there's already cloth that women can wear that'll actually transmit like the feel of somebody else from a distance.
So
this is something that's really interesting. So I'm thinking, you know, when you were talking about the mother system, okay, let's talk 50, 100 years in the future, right? You would be able to easily likely have an AI that is shared between both your sexual release mechanisms and the mothering figure in the household, right? So it's the same personality to many extents, but like different aspects of it for different environments. So you could have the best of all worlds. But once you do that, and women could do something similar, and once you don't need somebody of the opposite gender to have a kid, or opposite sex is more politically correct to say. I don't know which one's more politically correct these days. Once you don't need someone of the opposite sex to have a kid, that then how many people, if we're talking about the percentage of durable cultural groups that survive, how many of them will actually keep up this male-female dynamic versus how many of them will be just totally male cultures with simulated female partners and totally female cultures with simulated male partners?
We also have to think about the advantage of having a society where it's 90 plus percent males versus more females, because the males are going to pay more tax. The males are going to work more. But again, AI could make all of that irrelevant. So we don't know. There's so many unknowns at this point. But I'm definitely thinking in terms of, so let's say you take 90% males and say they choose to reproduce. We don't know if people would even reproduce if you gave them these options. Like, we're getting to this point where society is atomizing so much that I don't know. Like, we're looking for solutions. It's almost like you have to cater to people's narcissism. And that's another one of the things I was going to bring up in terms of reproduction. There's a show I mentioned to Malcolm called Foundation. And there's the Kleon dynasty, genetic dynasty. And every single version of Kleon is a clone. So if you create like a lineage where you're passing your clone down, you're going from one generation to the next, then it, what your aptitudes are, what your strengths and weaknesses are. So you can, you're more likely to guide the clone forward. And also a clone would be technically your brother and you would be the father at the same time, because go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, what I liked about this, and we talked about this and we're talking about it on the call, is it would allow for culture to become a lot weirder and a lot more specialized. Right now, we talk about to some extent cultures co-evolve with different groups, right? Because the culture is putting a pressure on the genetics and the genetics is putting a pressure on the culture. But if you had a pure breeding, like that means that you have the same genetics within each generation. It's what you talk about in mice or something like that, like bred pure. It doesn't mean like pure as in like ethnically. Anyway, if you have a pure breeding, like same genes, every generation, individual, and then a culture that's adapting itself within that group, I think it would become pretty radically different than anything we see in society today, to the point that you were making, because you could know exactly not just what strengths and weaknesses your kid is going to have, but what strengths and weaknesses your great-grandkid is going to have.
Yes.
Which changes a lot. Also, if you don't need to prime somebody to look for a partner, that changes a lot of how they structure their lives, for example.
How do you think, so let's say that there is like this isolated male society where it's really just men. How do you think culture would be different, especially when like women are no longer a point of stress or strife?
I've gone through most of the Old West. I've gone through old ghost towns and I've seen you get.
Yeah, that was so, that world, right?
Yeah, because you get 80-90% males and you get 10-15% females.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because the jobs for women are usually prostitute and barmaid and it's limited.
They're not really part of society. They really almost are more like sex dolls in that world, right? Because they're not even really just citizens. They're there to provide a service, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's this one town called Castle Dome. It's in Arizona, just outside of Yuma. And when I went down there, there's this bathtub that these prostitutes would haul from town to bathe the Johns because they didn't want to, they wanted to make sure they were clean as possible.
Yeah.
You're going to see, if you have a mostly male society, like I said, it would outcompete societies that were more 50-50 or societies that had more females in them simply because males spend more time working and paying taxes. So there's a New Zealand study that shows that men pay $150,000 more in their lifetimes to tax in New Zealand than they actually take out. So anyway.
Well, and to be clear, he's saying that they would outcompete economically speaking. They likely in current scenarios wouldn't outcompete in terms of fertility rates, but new technology could unlock that. And if people are wondering to Simone's question, what does an all male versus all female society look like? Now keep in mind, this has some staging to it and stuff like that. But if you want to get a feel for the differences, there was a Survivor season where they separated people into an all male and all female group.
Oh, was there really?
Yeah. And they created very different intra-group cultures. And I think the intra-group cultures they created, it explains to me why it is so prevalent among the friend groups I know to be like, of women, right? We'll have kids. We can have kids without men. And then we'll create a group where it's all of us single moms working together to raise our kids. And yet none of these groups has ever survived more than 6 months that I'm aware of. And I think that episode shows why, not that episode season or whatever.
I also think that all male society would be more highly disagreeable. If you look at the Old West, it's obviously like there's shootings and there's lootings all over the place. It has to do with just men not getting angry, getting on each other's nerves and figuring out ways to relieve the anger with violence. So that's another thing.
One of my questions though is isn't one of the reasons why, for example, men on average contribute more in tax dollars is because when they have children, their female partners are often participating in that in a way that doesn't show up in the modern economy, like uncompensated labor, because women on average just prefer to do that work. So they pick it up. There must be some numbers that are off there, right?
It's the whole gender pay gap argument. And the gender pay gap argument, women, they take more time off for raising the young. So that's going to affect their earnings potential down the road. It's going to affect their earnings potential immediately. Men also typically work more overtime hours. So when a man is in love, he's more likely to put more effort into his family and put more effort into things. I've seen this. You've seen this. We've all looked at that.
But my concern is that if men now are solely responsible for raising kids, like also theoretically, that their contribution to GDP will take a hit, or at least their contribution to measured financial GDP will take a hit.
The other thing to keep in mind, Simone, is that if you look at low-skill jobs that pay a lot, they are disproportionately male-held jobs.
Yeah.
You're looking at like high danger jobs, high, et cetera. But here's what I think we can forget about this. If you had a society that was only men, would also have to sort into the low skill jobs that are disproportionately female today that are lower paying, like teacher, et cetera.
Unless it's Malcolm, automated. Malcolm was bringing up it's the three D's: dangerous, difficult, and dirty jobs. Those are the jobs that men typically will do.
Yeah.
They'd be forced to take the jobs that women are also taking now in an all-male society. So you might have less of an inherent GDP gain unless we could show that within equivalent jobs, men led to more efficient outcomes. I don't know if there's data on that. I'd be open to it.
But things are changing. If you're looking at earnings potential, women in their 20s are now way out earning men in their 20s. So it's starting to flip. It's starting to go the other way.
Well, because I think they're
education.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Education. Women graduate with college degrees at such a dramatically higher rate than men do.
Yeah, and education, the problem with education is you're starting to see more verbal. Like, the reason girls are doing so much better is because education is becoming more verbal as opposed to visual. Mm. And a lot of these a lot of these manual labor jobs require visual thinking as opposed to verbal thinking. And yeah, like, they're pulling out my old middle school. I just looked up the number of teachers, male versus female, and there's only two male teachers, right? Back when I was a kid, it was like 50-50. They also pulled out the shop class. That's gone. So they're eliminating, and they replaced it with feminist music class. You know, so they're teaching like Black Lives Matter hymns. I'm like, wow, this is a skill that's going to help civilization continue. So
I'm also thinking, actually, when I'm thinking about what would a society that's primarily male look like? This is imperfect, obviously, because women did actually play a pretty big role in the Spartan world. But like, that was a world in which, to a great extent, it seemed like childcare was pooled. So it was managed at scale. It wasn't really so much that like women did all the child rearing as much as in other societies, at least. Like, the kids weren't always in the home. They were often training collectively. So like, I could see an all-male society in which you have all the children training collectively, more or less at scale, like in a really efficient manner that also creates pretty successful humans. And
I've looked at Sparta, and the problem with Sparta, it was very matriarchal. But what happened was it didn't last very long. It only lasted like a few generations compared to societies like Athens that were more like patriarchal. So if you look at Sparta versus Athens, it's more matriarchal versus patriarchal than anything
else. Was Sparta that matriarchal? Like, women were property managers, but they weren't really, were they that involved in politics and ruling?
I'm not 100% sure, but I know that they were involved in the economy. So that was the thing.
Well, yeah, my understanding was like they would stay at home and they would run the farm, but like in a modern economy. So if we're looking at like the MGTOW Sparta, that would just be like automated. Property management and stuff would not be something that anyone needed to do. Like in the modern age, the role that women played in Sparta is not necessary at all.
Yeah.
So you would just more look at what we would see.
But neither is the role that men play. Like, slave manager is not a big job in today's society.
Men didn't manage the slaves. Men like trained and were like,
what were they training to do? Put down slave revolts.
I mean, I'm sure they can do something else. They, you know, they did what the nation needed in order to gain wealth. So theoretically, they would train to do really awesome stuff that's a little bit more.
They did gain wealth, but you notice that in that culture, like if you look at the ruins of Athens versus the ruins of Sparta, mm-hmm. Sparta, there's nothing in Sparta. There's no great art. There's no architect. It's all like not the level is not there.
They weren't so effete, though. I mean, you know, they got shit done. I don't know.
No, like, yes, but they weren't interested in art. So you see, art,
yeah, they weren't girly men. I don't know what to tell you.
our cultural framework, so, and I love that you're so like Calvinist in your world tradition. Art, disgusting. What a sign of degeneracy. and this is actually genuinely something we believe, I think, puts us at odds with a lot of like the manosphere right now, where they're like, look at the old artists. And Simone's looking in that. And she's like, I don't know, that looks kind of girly. Statues.
True stories.
Nerds. Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, I have loved this conversation. Let's do another one. People should check out his YouTube. You could just look up Sandman on YouTube.
Yep.
And we'll have a link here.
Sandman MGTOW.
And is there anything else they should check out? Oh, but what about this doll? Can they buy this?
No, this is still on the development concept stage. So you can buy the dolls. There's actually, I've been selling dolls for many years, but in terms of buying the technology, not yet.
What do they look like compared to real dolls? Like, what are we picturing here?
You take a real doll, but you remove the head and you remove the vaginal insert, and you, those things are technological, but the rest of the doll is pretty much a real doll.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool.
So it's off the shelf technology. So you're not inventing new technology. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just describing what you said earlier. He explained this. It's like
the head. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, I wasn't sure whether the picture like blow up doll for bachelor parties or like real doll with.
No, it would be silicone, like a steel frame with silicone over it. Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. Yeah. That's way better. Okay.
Is cool. Is that what we're selling on our channel now? Is I love it.
I'm sorry. Real dolls are like great. I want to know what the foundation is. These things matter to me. Cool. Well, yes.
I think they're a very interesting technological innovation in terms of society right now, and they change a lot of potential social structures, I think, in pretty big ways that I'm really excited. And your technology is very interesting because it would create a completely new economy and a completely new relationship dynamic,
yep,
and a huge amount of social fallout from that would be very fun to observe.
You like the chaos, right? You think...
I like the way groups adapt to new things because it's interesting. And I would be annoyed by the groups that just reflexively yell at you for doing something new, but they'd exist too, right?
Yeah, totally. No, the technology would basically, my whole thing with the technology was it allows intimacy. It creates an intimacy. So say two partners are on either side of the world, they can have a sexual intimate relationship without being in physical contact with each other, but still be able to get each other off.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm excited. The future is here.